Blog Talk Radio.
Go ahead, sister.
Good evening. Good evening. This is Valerie Harris coming to you from on behalf of KS Radio. I'm here with Dr. Willie Hunter, and we just want to bless everyone that's listening and is calling in. So let me just open up with prayer. Father God, we just thank you for the night, Lord. We enter into your gates with thanksgiving, and we come into your courts with praise. God, you're an awesome God. And Father, we give you thanks and praise, Lord God, in the good times. And when we give you praise, Lord God, in the difficult times, we know that our help and our strength come from you. Lord God, I pray for every listener, Lord God, everyone who's tuned in on tonight, Father, that this line is covered with the blood of Jesus. And Lord God, I pray that I decrease and you increase, Lord, and that you move by your spirit, Lord. Father, I honor you with my heart, with my life, God. And I pray, Father, that the words that you have deposited in my spirit, Lord God, would touch, would heal, would transform lives, Lord God, and draw us closer to you, Father. I give you the glory, I give you the honor, and I give you the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I hope that everyone is doing well. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I want to come from, this is something that the Lord had deposited in my spirit to talk about on this evening. And I know it's for me, and I pray it's for you as well.
Amen.
And I'm going to start out reading from Romans, the 8th chapter and the 6th verse. And it says, to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, but it is not subject to the law of God.
Amen.
Neither indeed can it be. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. To define the word carnal, it's a word that the dictionary describes as being sensual, fleshly. It also refers to sexual needs or urges, carnal craving, attraction, and satisfaction. To be carnally minded, the scriptures tell us that it's enmity against God. And sometimes we fall short to thinking and acting and moving in carnal ways. When the most important thing God wants us to do is to walk in the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 10:4, and I'm going to tie these together because it says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but a mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And a stronghold is a fortress. It is used in the Bible as a metaphor to represent things that are based only on human confidence or pride. And it opposes those things that rely on God's input and guidance. When we have an encounter with Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, our Redeemer, our Savior, our King, and our Lord, there's a transformation that takes place in our lives. The Bible says that the old man passes away, and now we become a new creation. We become a new creation in God. Our very purpose that God has created us was to worship him in spirit and in truth. And sometimes that fortress or that stronghold that takes place in our mind and in our thoughts go back to where we used to be, the old man. But when Christ comes, there should be something different about our life. We must be transformed by the renewing of our mind and not be conformed to the things of this world. Until we have that encounter with the living Savior, we're conformed to this world. But there comes a crossroad in our life where we make a decision to follow after God. That's why God even sent Jesus to the earth. The gospel was about changing our direction, changing our thoughts, renewing our mind, and causing us to walk spiritually and not carnally. To be carnally minded is to be against God. Sometimes we use that excuse that, but we're saved by grace, and yes, we are. It is the grace of God that saves us. But there's a change that comes in our mind, in our walk, in the way we think, in the way we live, in the way we move. We become the living word, the epistles of God himself, that when Christ and the Spirit comes in, when the kingdom of God comes in and dwell with us, just our very presence demands an honor of our living God. We're no longer the old man. We must become the new person in God. That's why it's important for us to read the word and study the word and digest the word, that it can get in us and begin to change us. There's an immediate change, but then there is a process in the journey that we continue to change, because he's perfecting those things in us which concerns him. Our very mission, I don't know about yours, but I confess that it's mine. My very mission in being here is to please God. God wants us to walk in his perfect will and not walk carnally, but to walk spiritually. The carnal things will die away. The spirit is immortal. The spirit is eternal. Jesus was having a conversation with Peter. And in this conversation, you can look at Matthew, the 16th chapter, and starting with the 13th verse. Many people were... Christ was doing miracles. He had just fed multitudes with the fish and the loaves of bread. And people were always wondering who he was. But reading in 13, he says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom do ye say that I am? These were the men that were handpicked, hand chosen by God, by Jesus Christ, to walk with him, that he can train them in 3 years to continue with the gospel. They had a relationship with him. And Simon Peter, in the 16th verse, answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the anointed one. You are the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." What was he saying? What was Christ revealing in this passage of scripture? He told Peter, flesh and blood couldn't reveal that to you. See, the things of the world is of the world. The things of the flesh is of the flesh. But the things of the spirit is of the spirit. And he said, "My Father, who is spirit, who is life, revealed that to you." And Peter, upon this revelation, upon this knowledge in the spirit, "I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." When we begin to move in our own self and try to figure out things our own way, outside of the will or the revelation of God, we walk in error. Because we have one who says to trust in me with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all of my ways acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. God is sovereign. Many times we don't understand his ways because his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And the only way that we can know what he's thinking is we have to be in the spirit. Flesh and blood will not reveal it to us. We must walk in the spirit. And sometimes we don't trust it. We question it because it's beyond our understanding. And we rely on our own intellect, on our own path, on our own conscious mind, on our carnal mind, and not dwelling in his presence and getting into the mind of God. We wonder why we have so much trouble. But he said the spirit is life. The spirit is peace. And when you have no peace, that's an indication that we need to get back in the spirit. Surely he knows that we're human. Surely he knows that there are moments and many times that we're going to think carnally. He knows our emotions. He knows our, but Jesus said that if we are to follow him, that we must deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow after him. Paul said it this way. He said, "I die daily." To die to the flesh is to live in the spirit. God is spirit. His words are spirit and they are life. And wherever we have fallen from, we need to get back in the spirit of God. Now, coming back to, for our weapons are not carnal. Even the things that he's given us as weapons in our hands are not carnal. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against powers and principalities and rulers in high places. So the things that we wrestle with, we cannot carnally defeat them. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So when we begin to think in error, we can cast down every imagination that will rise against the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What are our weapons? I know the greatest one we have is love. The agape love is not an emotion. It's a spirit. It's a weapon. It's who God is and who God wants us to be, like him. Born again. The fleshly man born and shaping in iniquity, born into sin and shaping in iniquity. But the spirit of man is born of God. God is looking for those who he can say, upon this revelation, I'm going to build my church. The church should be the army of God. And by the Spirit, begin to tear down strongholds, begin to pull down and cast down principalities. It's one thing to watch the world go into this abyss of darkness and evil and to just talk about it. But the church must rise up in the Spirit of God and begin to declare and decree the will of God, that as it is in heaven, so let it be in the earth. It's better to be righteous and in right standing with God than to be in our own thinking and thinking that we're right. Righteousness is far greater than being right. Walking in the Spirit is life. Walking in the carnality of man is death. Our mission and our goal and our purpose is to please God, who is love and who has empowered us with his word and has empowered us. Darkness is covering the earth. It looks like evil is prevailing in the lives of people. But he tells us to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. We should aim to please the Father. That means that we can't take things in offense and get so emotional that we're hurt by the opinions of others. And I've gone through that, feeling hurt and rejected and wondering why people would do so. But if a person does not have a relationship with God, we can't expect them to be anything else. And God is looking for us to walk in love, to walk in forgiveness. It so burns within my heart to move and treat others in love and forgiveness and second chances because he gave me another chance. Because he loved me so much that he gave his only begotten son for me. And that he forgives every time I go to him and I ask him for forgiveness. And the Spirit of the Lord said that if he called you to a mission or to an assignment, come that mission. And you must become that assignment. The very struggle that you're going through, it's the test. Because if you don't pass it with the little things, when you get out on the battlefield where the war truly is, you're not going to be able to stand. Recognize the test. Recognize that it's the Spirit of God working in you to work something out of you to get you to the place where he needs you to be. God is still searching for those who will stand in the gap on behalf of another. It's his desire that none would perish, but that all would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he wants to use you, and he wants to use me to walk in the Spirit of the living God, to draw men to him. We can only do our part, but God is working with us, not against us. He's working for us, not against us. Father, I pray that you would release your goodness and your kindness and your anointing, Lord, and your love upon us tonight. That you would, that the spirit of unity and the spirit of revelation would rest upon us, that would draw us closer to you. God, I give you glory, honor, and praise. I want to stop here because I want to open the line for anyone who needs prayer or if anyone has anything to add, because we're the body.
Somebody put it on mute. Somebody put it on mute, please. Anybody go ahead. Anybody? God bless you. The line is open. Anybody go ahead.
Glory to God. Let he that hath ear to hear, let him hear what the woman of God has said tonight. For I believe the Spirit of the Lord has used her to speak to us. And in order to do his will, he's letting us know where it must start. And it must start with us in our hearts. For God is love. And if we're not walking in love, then we haven't truly submitted ourselves to him. And true submission to him is to get our love walk right. If it's hard for us to do, all we have to do is ask, and he'll do it through us. Be to God. Thank you for the word I believe and I receive.
Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Amen. Well, if God be the blessing of God, we thank God for our sister that's on the zone now. And I believe we have a teacher, A. Royal Princess Love. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Yes, I'm here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? We can hear you. We can hear you. We can hear you.
Glory to God. Well, that sister was just a breath of fresh air and a rejoice. Praise God for her spirit, her love that came through so gentle and so meek. I pray that I could be so meek and so gentle. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. We are the clay. He is the potter. And we thank God for this day. 10-1-9-9-2018. And then at 9 more days, 10-10, Dr. Hunters will be arriving at a new age if the Lord tarries. If the Lord tarries, 10-10 will be his birthday. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. We are so blessed to be here tonight on October the 1st, 2018. I mean, we will never see this day again. We are so honored and so privileged to be before you tonight. This is I am the clay that I spoke of. He is shaping me, molding me, and making me into that disciple through a process, as the sister so beautifully said. We all think we're going to jump up and be holy, holy, holy overnight. But it's a process. It's a process. Even though the actual act of making us holy happened in an instant. It happened in an instant. So I would thank God for everybody that's on the line, that they would mute their line. And then at the end, I would try to do just like the sister. And let us pray. Let us come boldly to the throne of God, to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, to the Messiah, to the Elohim, to the El Shaddai, to the Lord God Most High, to the I Am, to the everything that I need, desire, and want. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna to the Most High God. Praise you, God. And I give out, I throw up kisses to my God, to my God, to my God. I lift up my hands and praise him with all meekness and humbleness that I can find in me, because he is worthy, worthy, worthy of all praise. I need forgiveness for all my slackness, slothfulness, unspiritual walking any time I have. She hid it. You know, that's why I tell us, giving us all the tools. No, I can't be holy on my own. No, I can't be in the spirit 24/7. No, I can't. But God has given me all the tools to do that. And it's all because I need to learn to yield. We need to learn to yield. Submit yourself unto the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what we have to do. Oh, I hear people who tell me they got physical needs in the flesh. And I hear people telling me, making all kind of excuses to walk carnal minded. I myself probably don't confess it outwardly, but probably inwardly, probably make use some of them myself. But I can truly tell you, when you taste and see that the Lord is good, you don't want to walk in the flesh. You want to stay in the spirit all the time. But then You can't. You really can't. But truly, to be carnal minded is death. And that's why we are at war. I am a spiritual being. I live in a body. And I have a soul. And that they are at war all the time. The spirit and my flesh always at war. Because, of course, before I was born again, before I tasted and seen that the Lord was good, I only knew how to please my flesh. That was all we knew. We knew that we walk by hearing, seeing, and tasting all the things that our natural body had desires for. But whoa, when God came in and made me a 1 Corinthians 5:17, a new creature in Christ, whoa, then I would hear him talking to me, and I would hear him speaking to me, and yet I couldn't totally together. This is over 48 years ago. I couldn't get it totally together. In some ways, the war was, you think you're so superior. This is not another human being and I. This was me telling God, who do I think I am? And then there was that other little voice telling me, you are mine. I have just purchased you. I have just bought you with a price. You no longer belong to yourself, but you are mine. They shall be mine, saith the Lord. And that's what it was talking about in the Old Testament. They shall be mine. We are his. I am no longer mine. That's why I quickly run to him. Oh, I run to him. I cleave to him with my head. Did my phone go? I think I lost y'all and I came back on. I mean, I just had to redial right quick. Praise God. But anyway, last week we cut off from Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, and I want to start at verse 1. Can y'all hear me? Can everybody hear me? Because this phone goes in and okay. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Let me know when I'm going off. Okay. Oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ have been evidently set forth, crucified among you. That is, and I'm going to take the time. I don't have but 30 minutes, but if it might take me to December to get through the rest of Galatians.
Amen.
But
Amen.
In this particular verse 1 runs you to Luke chapter 24 verse 25. And I want you to know this is part of the Lord, Luke 24:25. I had, there we go. Luke 24:25. Then he said, this is Jesus, he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Oh, that's Luke 24:25-26. Now I'm going back to Galatians chapter 3:1 again, because I want you to try and get a good understanding. And I'm reading from my Thompson Chain Reference Bible. And in my, and if anybody don't know what a Thompson Chain Reference Bible is, it gives you all the scriptures that that show you the things that pertain to that same subject. And so 37 okay. And so I would highly advise everybody to get a Thompson Chain Reference Bible or any great reference Bible, because it gives you, it helps your understanding. It gives you all the scriptures that pertain, like I said, unto that same subject. Now, in my Thompson Chain Reference Bible, it's talking about being deceived. And it runs you to over here in, it gives you 3707. Okay, here we go. In 3707, it's deceivers, the work of deceivers. Romans 16 and 8. Second Corinthians 11, 13. Number two we're going to go to right now. Romans chapter 16 and 8. Because there's always a scripture to back up whatever it's saying, where you don't have to wonder what it means, because the word is Romans 16 and 8. Romans chapter 16, verse 8. Okay, here we go. Verse 8. Greet Amphilia, my beloved, in the Lord. Romans 16, 8. Why is it giving me that? But in any case, 16 and 8. Salute Urban, our helper in Christ, and Stacy, my beloved. That's Romans 16 and 8. Okay. That was six. Okay. And, oh, 16 and 18. I didn't think that was the 8 should have anything to do. I missed that. For they that are such, now, I'm going to read 16, 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. In verse 18, this is Romans 16, verses 17 and 18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Do you? That was Romans. That's the reference from Romans. That's the reference from Galatians chapter 3, verses 1, all the way over to the Romans chapter 16, verse 18. And I read 17 and 18, so you'll get a good understanding. Now we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 11, 13. I want you to see the, just how he's turning this in, showing you this here, how this here, so he's rebuking the Galatians, you remember? 2 Corinthians 11, 16. Oh, that was right behind us. Praise God. 11, 13. Okay. 11, 13 says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now remember this. This is Paul. These references run you from Galatians chapter 3, who asked you, oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you? Who have bewitched you? Who have you believed? Who have you listened to? It's telling you. Oh, praise God. Okay, now we're back at Galatians chapter 3. I just, There was more scriptures to run you from, but I must go back to Galatians chapter 3, 2. This only would I learn of you. Receive you the Spirit. Now we're talking. Now listen at this. This is very, very important. Receive. It's asking you, how did you receive the Spirit? Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And, of course, you got to say by the hearing of faith, not by the works of law. And see, this is why what the sister just spoke on, Romans chapter 8, walking in the Spirit, is very important. Because we keep in religion, and religion teaches us to do a lot of works and make us think that we are holy. And it's only through the Spirit that we can be holy. You know, we are the righteousness of Christ. You've been made righteous, not by works, not by things you do, but because of Him that did a work in you. Him that did a work in you. Hallelujah. So, receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Then verse 3, Galatians 3, 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Now, remember this scripture, y'all, because it all through the New Testament, it teaches. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. He that walketh in the flesh is separated from God. She just preached. She just taught the same thing. So this is very important. If I was on here teaching y'all from my own feelings, my own opinions, my own theories, my own philosophy, or even some of the stuff I've learned in some of the Bible schools I've learned, And even when you go to Bible school, if you go, you need to really, really, still, there's no place you're going to be able to go, no matter how much Bible you learn, that you ain't going to need the Spirit in yourself to be able to guide you. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the Spirit of God. And I want y'all to remember who the Holy Spirit is, because we keep thinking He's a separate person from God. But I want you to understand and remember what Jesus Christ said. I must go away, and I will send you a comforter, and He shall lead you and guide you into all truth. And I like you to understand, capital A-L-L is never going to change. All is all. Now, sometimes we put everybody into a all category. But when God say all truth, He mean all truth. If I say, of course, I want y'all to know my name is Ruth, R-U-T-H. I want you to know my name is the only word in truth. Ruth is the only word in truth. There's not two or three words in truth. There's only one word in truth. And then I say that not to brag or boast, because that's the name I was born with. But I love truth, even when it smacks me in my own face. Even when I'm not walking in truth, I still love truth. Because who is truth? Who is truth, y'all? God the Son. God the Son is truth. He said, I am the way. I am the life. I am the truth. He is. We just keep missing who He is all the time. We keep wanting to put Him in the same category that we are. And we want to say, I hope and pray that we're not taking the Holy Spirit lightly, that He is God with us. He is God in us. He is God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. This is in 1 Corinthians. This is in the Word. This ain't my opinion, my theory, my philosophy. and to slack up on the power that's in these in this one God. Galatians chapter 3, verse 4. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain, he therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you. That's verse 5, Galatians 3, 5. Doth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And remember, y'all, remember there are 613 laws, including the Ten Commandments. Okay? Remember that. That's very important. You need to study the law so you can understand how the law was given to reveal sin. That's what the law I don't have to tell you my opinion. I'm going to read it to you right here in this book of Galatians. Verse Galatians 3, 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith. Now this here, I'm going to run reference on this one so y'all can see how important this here verse, Galatians 3. Oh boy, I'm at 10 more minutes. The time goes fast. But run reference on Galatians 3, 6 and see. Knowing ye and 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now remember I told y'all last week that we are the spiritual Jews. And the only way you can be a spiritual Jew is you got to be the son of Abraham, okay? Okay, 7. And the scripture says, verse 8 now, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify, make right, justify. We're justified, okay? This is very important. The heathen through faith. See, we was heathen. We were heathen. But we're no longer heathen. And we ain't even just sinners saved by grace. We are saints now. So when you say, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, you misrepresent the power of what the Holy Spirit has already done. Holy God, preach. Holy God, the Holy Ghost. Justify the heathen through faith. Preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee, now this is how we became spiritual Israelites, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Do you get me? This is very important. Run reference on this. I'm out of time almost, but this is how we became spiritual Israel. So then, they which be of faith are blessed. So don't let nobody tell you you ain't blessed. Which faithful Abraham, they that which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Are under the curse. This is important. I got so many people mad at me, and I ain't inventing this word. I don't understand why people can't read the word and search. Hunger. The Bible says, seek ye me. Seek ye first. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Want to know God for yourself. Don't let people teach you false teaching, and you just follow and go along with the okey-doke. But study. Search and ask God when you're studying. Give me an understanding, Lord. Give me wisdom. Give me knowledge. Quicken thou my ears that I might hear you when you speak. That's what he's saying. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And that would run you all also over in First and Second James. If you sin in one, you're guilty. If you're guilty of one sin, you're guilty of all. That's in the book of James. Okay. And the law is not of faith. Now remember verse 12, see, because I got a lot of people jumping up and down. See there, that was the law. If you don't do all of them, you don't do all of them. But I'm telling you, verse 12 helps you understand now. You can't stop at 11. You got to go to 12. And the law is not of faith. This is why God had to do the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's so much power and to the fulfillment. He came to fulfill. That's what he said, but so many people didn't understand what fulfill meant. Verse 12, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Verse 13, Christ has, here we go, y'all. Christ, this is the word. This is the key right here. Christ has redeemed, bought, purchased us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, do you understand why you don't have to worry about the law? Because when Christ hung on that tree, this is why I believe in the finished works of Christ. This is why I'm trying to tell you, when he said it is finished, when he hung on that thing, on that tree, he became a curse for you and for me. That don't take his being a curse lightly. He paid a high price to be a curse. He was torn apart from the Lord and Savior, his Father. Abba, that's the first time in existence that Abba and Jesus, the Christ, was separated. That's the first time that he was not in the presence of God. Understand that. So, our time is almost up. I'm going to quit here and let anybody ask the questions. Remember that I quit at 13. I will try and write that down. If not, I'll go back over and recapture or whatever. But cursed is every man, everyone that hangeth on a tree. And Jesus Christ hung on the tree for you and me. So let us, you got 4 minutes. So you can, if there's anybody who has anything to ask, say, or praise, or whatever, feel free these 4 minutes.
I ask that you continue to pray for me, that I walk in the fullness of God and not according to my own strength.
Me too. We touch and agree on that one. For me too. Me too. I ask everybody out there who got a tongue, who got a thought, who got a mind, who know the Lord, pray for us. Pray for us. And we are praying for you. I pray for the body of Christ every day, from the least to the greatest. And we are the body of Christ. I don't just pray for my immediate family or my world, put in my immediate world, but I pray for the body, because I do know that one piece of torn page from the Bible can save somebody. I know that. I know that once over in the bush, over in Africa, where in the places where they're not totally civilized, I know that one word can strike a man's heart. And he cried out to God, save me, Lord, save me. I'm all about winning souls. He that winneth souls is wise. But the Bible says no man can come except the Father in heaven draw. So we ask him, Father, but Romans chapter 9, I have to also remember that as I'm remembering. The time for the Gentiles is winding down, people. It's winding down. Christ is coming. And as I like to, I haven't quoted to read it to you all since we've been back on, 1 Timothy 3:19, God, let me go to it and read it to you right quick. God, which most people don't believe, because some people don't believe that God, Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Don't let nobody fool you. Jesus is God. 1 Timothy 3:19. Here we go. Here we go. Because I said so fast sometime I misquoted a little bit. 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested. Manifest means to be made known. God was made known in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels. Now, this is what he's been, this is what you and I used to be. Preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. That was God, and that was Jesus. Love y'all. God bless you. Have a blessed week in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We have sister from Dallas coming on right now. Dallas, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. God bless you. Go right ahead.
Father God, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord God. I ask you, Father God, to use me, Father God, to glorify you, Father God, and to speak, Father God, to those that are listening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to come out of two chapters, and so I'm coming out of the book of Jonah. I'm going to start with the third chapter, but I'm just going to read a couple of verses out of there and a couple of verses out of chapter 4. So I'm going to start with Jonah chapter 3. We know about Jonah and how God told him to go to Nineveh, and he decided to go in the opposite direction, and how God allowed the whale to swallow him, and how he stayed in the belly of the whale, and then he submitted to God and went to Nineveh. But the sixth verse in chapter 3 says, for word came unto the king, and that was Jonah had went unto Nineveh. And as he entered into Nineveh, began to proclaim the word that God had given him for Nineveh. And the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh for the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast nor herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. And so here in chapter 4, we read that Jonah got angry, but I'm going to go down to verse 5. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side other city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And tonight I just want to talk a little bit about forgiveness, forgiveness and unforgiveness. And I'm going to speak to the body of Christ and to those whoever is listening that's dealing with unforgiveness and they're wondering why things are not going right in their life. I had to talk to counsel somebody that was that's dealing with unforgiveness in their heart, and but just to speak directly, forgiveness is very important. Forgiveness is key. It is key, and we have to forgive those who have done us wrong. It is important that we do that. If we want to have a healthy, productive life, we have to forgive. Even the Bible tells us that the prayer that Jesus taught, which we call the Lord's Prayer, it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So your forgiveness is predicated on you forgiving. He also told the disciples when they asked, how many times should I forgive my brother? And Jesus said, they said, till seven times, and Jesus said, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Forgiveness is so important. I can't stress that enough, how important forgiveness is. Here it is, we have Jonah. Jonah, God gave Jonah an assignment. Jonah resisted to do the assignment, but then God caused, again, the fish to swallow him. And then when God caused the fish to spew him out, then Jonah went on and he completed the assignment in which God gave him. But Jonah went out of the city, and he sat there and just to see. And we have to check our heart, because a lot of times when somebody do us wrong, whether if they did it that day or they did it 30 years ago, it is not our responsibility or our job to sit back and to wish evil on that person, or to sit back and say, you know, when something do happen to them, you know, say, well, you know, they got what was coming to them, you know, or, you know, just to sit there and watch. We got to make sure that our heart is right. Instead of just sitting back, we should be the ones that's praying and letting God know. Jesus said while he hung on the cross in the face of all those who persecuted, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So Jesus hanging on the cross with thorns in his head and nails in his hands and in his feet, if he can utter out of his mouth in the pain and what he was facing, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The same thing even with our enemies, those who sit back and talk about us, persecutors, those who do things against us. We have to learn how to forgive and not sit back and watch to see what is happening, what's going to happen to them, because God is merciful to whom he is merciful to. And here it is, we have Nineveh turned from their ways. They turned from their ways. And even if a person did something to you 20 or 30 years ago and you still angry, still frustrated, you know, you can't sleep at night, you being tortured, you being tormented, you angry because they prospering, they going forth, and you mad and you upset. But you have to look at the bigger picture. You have to look at the word of God. You don't know in that person's quiet time if they've already repented, and you have to be okay with yourself. You have to say, it is okay if they don't ever come to me and repent. As long as they go to God and repent. Don't always think that a person is going to come to you and say, I'm sorry. Because they may not ever come to you and say they're sorry. They may say, Father, forgive me on my deathbed, on their deathbed of what they did. So you, as believers, we have to stop sitting back and waiting for things to happen to people. Whatever happens to that person, you know, it may not be because of what they did to you. It could be because of what they just their sin. It may not be because they did you wrong. It could be because they did somebody else wrong. God said, vengeance is his. It's not yours. We're not going to sit on the, we're not here now sitting on the judgment seat, just judging a person. We have to have enough grace and mercy, enough love in our heart to forgive. If God forgave you, if he gave you grace and mercy, you should have enough mercy for somebody else. You should look at that individual as a soul and want that soul to be saved. I remember an instance where I had unforgiveness in my heart towards somebody. And when I came into the realization of what was going on, and after the Holy Spirit told me personally, driving down the street in my car, the Holy Spirit told me, you are wrong. You wrong. And I had to pray right then and there because I knew exactly what the Holy Spirit had was talking about. And when I repented, I can feel a weight coming off of my shoulder. I can sit today and talk to that person. I can go and visit that person. I have no issue with that person. I have love in my heart for that person. So we have to check ourselves. We have to make sure that when we say I love, we got to make sure that we are loving. We can't say I love and we have hatred at the same time. The two just don't mix. It just don't mix. So you have to check yourself to make sure that at all times that you're operating in the spirit of love and having a heart of forgiveness. I hear people say it's so hard to forgive. It is hard. It is hard. But every day, if you make that your goal, every day, if you say, I am making it my mission every day to say I forgive them, do it every day. Just say I forgive them. Call out their name. You know, and you have to look at your, again, you have to look at the sins that you have committed also. But, again, if you would every day say, hey, I forgive, I forgive, I forgive, I forgive. One day that forgiveness is going to come into your heart and you're going to experience forgiveness in a way that you've never experienced forgiveness. And you can tell if you've forgiven somebody because somebody can say something concerning that person and you don't feel anger. That anger won't rise up in you. You won't get tense. You won't get frustrated. You don't want to see that person hurt. You don't want to see no harm come to that person because the Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So it's not that person that you're wrestling against. It's a spirit that you're wrestling against. So you have to have the mind of Christ and say, God, I want to forgive. It's hard for me to forgive. Help me to forgive. And God would help you to forgive. We cannot be like Jonah. We can't be like Jonah sitting up under a booth and waiting for destruction to happen to somebody. We can't get angry with God because we feel like God should have did something by now. It's been 20 years and you ain't did nothing yet to them. You can't have that type of attitude. And here in the 10th verse, God says, then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 64,000 persons that cannot discern between the right hand and the left hand, and also much cattle. So we have to have forgiveness in our heart. Forgiveness is very important. You have to know that forgiveness ain't for that person, it's for you, because we all got to go stand before God. We all have to go stand before him, and we have to give an account of our deeds. And God is not going to judge you according to what that person did to you. So you can't go before God and say, I did that because so-and-so, so-and-so did that to me. And God is not going to judge you according to that, but God is going to judge you according to your response to them, because God has given us all the tools. He has equipped us with everything that we need here while we yet live here. He has given us everything that we need. And if we would just follow his word and allow his word to live through us and allow it to lead us, then we will be able to go stand before God, and God will tell us, good, thy good and faithful servant. And that's what we want to hear. We want to hear God say that we were good and that we were faithful servants before him. It doesn't matter about, again, what somebody has done to you, but it's your response to them and your response. And I know it's hard, and I know that you can say, oh, that's easy said than done, but it's possible, and it can be done. But you got to have the mindset and the heart to do it, and God will help you if you need the help. And that's all I have to say for this evening.
Well, I tell you, you did a great job this time. Praise the Lord. Now, Jonah, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Hello? Hello?
I'm here.
Okay.
Can
Jonah,
you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Jonah was a, what was so important about him?
What was so important about Jonah?
Yeah.
Well, Jonah was a prophet of God. But
well, you see, you got two types of prophets. You got a major and a minor. So it was a minor prophet.
And he was a minor prophet.
And so what God, if I'm reading what your message is, God was using him to come to submission, to obeying his will. Okay. All right. And because the Jews knew the law, they felt that they were much better than the Gentiles. There was a Gentile nation God was sending them to. But the Jews thought he was much better. Now, I ain't going to talk to them snaggletooth people. Don't wash their hands. Don't pray. Don't bless you. I don't want to deal with them because I can go there and tell them something. And I want to thank you for the time you took, and you did what you brought to the fullness of what God is doing. And so,
And can I say this? And we have to remember too. And even though the word applied to the children of Israel at the time when God told the children of Israel, he said, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves," that still in turn goes for us as being Gentiles. We have to be humble.
Well, let me
become humble, and that's what they did. They humbled themselves. And they turned.
What was it? The Jew? Were they Jews or Gentiles? When he was sending to them?
They were Gentiles.
They were Gentiles.
He sent them to a Gentile nation. And
so,
even though this word was for when he was telling the when he was speaking, and he said, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves," and a lot of times, you know, people would say, "Well, you know, he was speaking to the." Children of, hello?
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
I thought my phone call got interrupted. You know, but we have to apply the word of God to us too. You know, we have to become humble. We have to turn from our wicked ways. And that's what they did. They turned from their wicked ways. They put down violence. And God saw that they turned from their ways. and God came in and he healed their land. So
if I might, may I say something? I might sound a little on the ignominious side, but what he's speaking in the Old Testament, he's speaking directly to Jews and Jews only, or he's speaking to Gentiles?
Speaking to the Jews when it came, he's speaking to the Jews.
Okay, because I know that when we get into the Word, it said, but if my people, that's in 2 Corinthians 7:14, but if my people that are called by name will humble themselves and pray, God gave condition. But he was talking to the Jewish people to bring them, because they were disobedient. Because, see, they had the Abrahamic covenant and they had the Mosaic covenant. Under the Abrahamic covenant, the blessings, healing, prosperity for their soul. I was under the Abrahamic covenant. God said that with Abraham, who was a Jew. Now, when you get to the book of Mosaic, with Moses, and remember what Moses said, a man just like me, God's going to raise him up. His name is going to be Jesus. But see, the Hebrews knew the law. They practiced the law. But God said, just in case they're going to miss something here, they're going to have to sacrifice. You look in the book of Leviticus, and they all began to make a sacrifice. A lamb, a bush, a dove, a turtle dove, a this or that. It was to make sure that he interwoven them into what he was doing. As a result of what you're telling me tonight, is that God comes to us, but the Jews will not accept the final Mosaic covenant. They will not. They accept everything. The law, they accepted the covenant of Abraham, but they will not accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. And they wouldn't accept the fact, but he was one. Now, we're still waiting on Messiah. Messiah's come. But he's coming back. So, I want to thank you tonight for your teaching. Just me and you and a few more people listening. And I want to thank you for everything you said tonight. Amen?
Amen.
And God bless you until we meet again. The peace of God be with you.
Amen.
Amen. Bye-bye now.
Good night. Bye-bye.